worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. I'll be introducing our in-studio guest in just a moment, but as we start off, we invite you to look with us in the book of Psalms, Psalm 112, beginning at verse 1. Psalm 112, starting at verse 1. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. He is dispersed abroad. He is given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted with honor. The wicked will see it and be grieved. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the gift your word is to us. And thank you for the power, the grace, the anointing, the strength that rests in your word each and every day. Lord, with every passing day, more and more help us to grow in our understanding of the great value, the great blessing, the great strengthening that is found in simply taking time to open your word and spend time with you one-on-one, reading, meditating, and listening to your word. With every passing day, help us to grow in our commitment to read it and our commitment to teach and encourage others to do the same as disciples of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the gift, the wonderful gift your word is to each and every one of us. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Let me remind you once again, we'd like to invite you to join us in the Cherubim here on Urban Family Talk here on the Hour of Intercession. In order to get on the Cherubim, simply go to www.urbanfamilytalk.com. Then look at the top left side of the page and go to Menu. Then click on Radio. Click on Menu. Then click on Radio Programs. Scroll down to the Hour of Intercession. Once you find the Hour of Intercession, page, scroll down a little until you see the word podcast. Next to podcast is the Cherubim. Okay, stick with me now here. Okay, click on the Cherubim. And next you'll see the Cherubim box within the top corner of the box as it's an arrow there. Click on the arrow, and you can log in as a guest or log in using your Facebook account. Follow those steps to log into Facebook where you're an official Cherubimite, and you can converse with us through the Cherubim. Hope you join us today if you can. And, of course, I want to remind you, too, we're always wanting you to pray for the ministry of Urban Family Talk. Pray for the Hour of Intercession. Pray for the ministry of the American Family Association as well. We very much need your prayers. We have coming up in just a few weeks our fall share-a-thon, and we're still looking for listener testimonies. If you'll call in this number and share your testimony, we'd really appreciate hearing from you. Share with us how the Lord has used Urban Family to strengthen you, to build you up, to encourage you as a follower of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You can call and record a short testimony on this number, 1-877-327-5647. Again, 1-877-327-5647. Share a listener testimony. And again, you just might hear that testimony on or during our fall share-a-thon. We'd like to say a word, a special hello and welcome to our listeners on Afrika TV. This is our first day in which we're broadcasting on Afrika today, and we're grateful to have them. If you didn't already know, you can now watch the Hour of Intercession live on a live stream channel at Afrika.tv/Hour of INT. Let me say that a little slower. At Afrika, that's AFREECA.tv/Hour of INT. And you'll be able to watch live stream the Hour of Intercession. Grateful to have with us in studio today, Teddy James. Teddy is the managing editor of Engage magazine. And Engage is actually a whole lot more than a magazine, but I'm going to let TJ explain that. Good to have you with us today.
Hey, TJ. Appreciate the opportunity, and let me be on your platform. Yeah, Engage is a lot of different things. So what we started with was a website. What we do there is we publish three articles a week where we talk about how we are all millennials that write, or most of us that write for Engage are millennials. And so we all have similar questions about how to live the Christian life, especially in this stage of life where we're starting careers, we're starting families.
Let me jump in real quick.
Yep.
TJ, define millennial for us.
So right now, the millennials is, most studies would say 18 to 35. But okay, the kind of defining moment of millennials is the millennium. It's, you know, you kind of came of age around the turn of the century. So you kind of grew up with the internet, and all these different things are what kind of define a millennial.
Basically became an adult in the vicinity of the turn of the century, more or less.
Yeah, yeah, somewhere in there. So, you know, because they're, again, you know, on the younger side, they're 18 this year, millennials are. And on the older side, we're, you know, 30, 35, somewhere in there. So.
Okay, okay. And Engage is one of the divisions of the American Family Association.
Mm-hmm.
And explain a little bit more just how. It's pretty broad, what all that you all do. Explain a little bit more to our listeners what Engage, what else Engage does.
Yeah, so we do our website. Again, we have three articles a week posted there. We have our social media, which we're very active. We actually have a whole team that we just live on social media. You can find us Facebook. It's facebook.com/magengage. And everything else, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, Google+, all those things, it's Engage Magazine 1, Engage Magazine, the number 1. And so we do, so we have the website, we have a radio program heard on AFR Saturdays at 5:30 Central that's hosted by myself and Wesley Wildman. So we do that every week. We turn that into a podcast. You can find that at engagemagazine.net/podcast. We also have a physical magazine that we just came out with just a few weeks ago, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And this is it. If you're on Afrika.tv, you can see it now. The cover article is 7 Tips for Defending Your Faith on Social Media. But what we've done, this is kind of serves as a business card for us. Mm-hmm. So when we go to conferences, when we go to different places, we hand that out and say, this is a taste of who we are. If you like this magazine, you're going to like the website. Mm-hmm. We're going to be putting those out once a year. And so that's going to, you know, kind of serve us well in that area.
Okay.
So we do the podcast. Now, lastly, the thing we just added this week is a YouTube channel. And so we're going to be putting out at least one author vlog a week. And then we also have a segment called Think and Drive, where it's myself and our project director, Jordan Shambly. We basically jump in a car and go get Starbucks and talk.
Mm-hmm. So, okay.
We just have a lot of fun.
That's what you do on your channel then?
That's exactly what we do on our channel. So we have interesting conversations. The first one, we talked about Olympics, and somehow it got around to redneck Olympics and Putin, Vladimir Putin eating a wild boar.
Hmm.
And how we think chopped should be an Olympic sport. Mm-hmm. And then we did another one where we just talked about entertainment and some of the things that we really enjoy. We pulled one of the Engaged contributors, Cedra. She came in and sat in the back seat, and we all just kind of drove and talked.
Okay.
So it's fun. We have a lot of fun.
I guess the Starbucks coffee will draw in a whole lot of listeners all by itself, you know, the fact that you're a fan. So
we're liking it.
Mm-hmm. Well, what would you say makes millennials different from most other age groups?
If I'm being completely honest with you, I would say nothing. and I know there's going to be some older generations that are like, no, that's not right. And some millennials would say, no, that's not right. But I've looked into a lot of research into my own generation. And what I have found is that there are some things that are unique in the sense that we live in a unique time. All right, mm-hmm. So we have the internet where your generation, Pastor Joseph, when you grew up, you didn't have the internet. You didn't have
That's
Google
right.
to go and ask. If you had a question, you went to the library. Mm-hmm. We can pull out a smartphone and just look up the answer if we want it, which has led to, I think, millennials finding really good questions to ask. Mm-hmm. And so because we always want to be smarter than Google, we want to find the question that Google can't answer.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think that that has kind of led to a unique time that we live in. However, if you look at the values of the different generations, and we're talking, you know, nationwide, And this surpasses race, this surpasses religion, this surpasses everything. But if you look at generations as a whole, statistically, there's very little difference between millennials today and, say, the baby boomer. There's a great book out there called Retiring the Generation Gap. It's by Jennifer Deal. And she dives into this. And I mean, there's so many graphs and charts and stats in her book. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. But what she found is that the things that everybody complains about with millennials is the same thing that every generation has when they started the workforce. It's just we tend to forget. Mm-hmm. And then the things that millennials complain about with older generations are actually the same things that have always been and the same things that even millennials believe in. There are some differences in the sense that we go about doing things differently.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But the values, the beliefs, all those are very similar.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's interesting to think about what you mentioned about the differences in just the things that were going on. I was out of college the first time I really dealt with significantly with a computer. Mm-hmm. Well, nowadays, kindergartners use computers.
My four-year-old daughter uses it all the time.
Right, mm-hmm. right. But again, human nature is the same.
Well, and that's the thing. You know what? Millennials have the exact same battle that every generation since Adam and Eve has had, and that is a battle with sin. Mm-hmm. We have the exact same answer to sin, and that's Christ. And it doesn't matter how old you are. We are all impacted by sin, and we all are in need of the gospel. And it doesn't matter anything else. We have the need for the gospel. And one of the things that I am constantly telling churches and church leaders, you know, because Engage, just simply with my position there, I get a lot of phone calls, people calling and saying, how can we reach this next generation? And this is what I always say. Present the gospel, period. Mm-hmm. Give the gospel. Don't water it down. Don't give anything less than the gospel, and don't give anything more than the gospel. Stick with the gospel. It's what is needed most, not just for millennials, but for the world.
Amen. That's good, CJ. I mean, TJ.
I've been called worse.
TJ, okay. I want you to pray for our listeners. Lots of our listeners probably are millennials and other groups as well, but would you lift them up in prayer, whatever's on your heart to pray for them about now?
Absolutely. Okay. Father God, we come before you, and God, we do know that there are so many needs that are represented by those listening right now. And God, we know that there are sicknesses in families, Father. We know that there are job layoffs, Father. We know that there are stress, and there are just these deep needs in these lives. And so, Father God, we ask you for several things in regards to those. And Father, we ask that you will reveal yourself and God, show yourself to be the source of all hope, the source of all life. And Father God, you say that you are the author of peace. And Father, I pray that you will bring peace into these lives. But Father, I pray that you are also the sustainer, the healer, God. Whatever these needs are, Father, I pray that you are the one who provides those needs. You fill those needs. And God, I know for a fact that there are those listening right now that are in need of the gospel. Father, I pray that there is no one who believes that they have graduated from grace, that they have graduated beyond the need for the gospel, but that they recognize the need for it today and that they spend today preaching the gospel to themselves, studying your word, and just abiding in your presence. Father, I pray that, God, even as this radio program continues, Father God, that we will constantly bring people back to the cross, and God, just ultimately that your name is glorified. And it's in that name of Jesus we say these things. Amen.
Amen. Father, to thank you, and thank you for the work you've called Teddy James to and leading Engage. And thank you, Lord, for the opportunity you give to each of us to be vessels and witnesses to our generation, knowing that, again, as TJ mentioned, everybody needs to hear the gospel, and they need to hear it clearly based on your word. Thank you for the opportunity to present it each and every day. We love you, we bless you, we praise you, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You're listening to The Hour of Intercession. Our in-studio guest is Teddy James. We'll be right back.
Just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day, Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk. The Awakening, shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening, encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
I am proud to say that I am not an African-American, I am an American!
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening.
The women's ministry at my church recently had a chat and chew. It was all the women of the church, specifically mothers and daughters, but included older and younger women. The chat part was the older women 25 and up sharing with the younger women some of their testimonies. The desire was to help them understand that they didn't have to go through girl things alone, that there was somebody who understood where they were and had been there before. It was a great encouragement for everyone. The chew part was a time of fellowship and food. We mingled, we laughed, we talked, and of course, we ate. I came away from the chat and chew really glad that I had pressed my way to get there. I said all of that to say this: everything that you go through is purposed for your life and designed for you to help bring someone else out. Don't allow the enemy to make you ashamed of your journey so that you keep silent about how God has kept you and brought you out. Share with the younger women so that they know that they can make it too. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Equipped with Chris Brooks.
This program is an apologetic endeavor. What I want to do is really train you in the art and science of defending and commending your Christian faith to people who maybe they've been hurt by the church, maybe they don't believe like you believe, and you're saying to yourself, how do I have an effective conversation with them? Well, we're looking for an evangelistic edge, if you will, that will allow us to more effectively, more contextualize the gospel so that we can reach men and women for Christ. Quite often, the on-ramp, if you will, is looking at culture and taking advantage of the conversations that folks are already having and saying, how can I leverage this to get people to talk about Jesus? This show becomes kind of massively significant to you if your desire is to reach people for Christ.
Get equipped with Chris Brooks.
Join me Monday through Friday at noon Central Time on Urban Family Talk.
God good, saints? Is God good all the time?
Thank you.
music of the Mighty Clouds of Joy, the song Order My Steps. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. I want to share, as we start off this next segment, a passage of scripture from the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Again, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, starting at verse 1. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit has the worker from that in which he labors? I've seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from the beginning to end. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Again, we're grateful to have as our in-studio guest, Teddy James. He's the managing editor of Engage. And Teddy, at this point, would you kind of expound a little bit further on what else Engage as a ministry does? What further expound on the mission of Engage?
So in the very beginning, kind of the way that Engage got started was a group of us millennials, you know, just as it tends to happen, you form friendships with people that are close to your age, that are close to your life stage and things like that. So that's what was happening. And we all were just kind of hanging out. And just in the course of conversations, we realized we were all asking very, very similar questions. Mm-hmm. You know, some of us were married, some of us were single, some were engaged, some had kids, some did not. But any of that, we were still on our faith journeys in very similar places. Mm-hmm. And so we were all asking questions that were very similar and realized that we were looking online, because that's where you go, but we were looking everywhere for answers to these questions. And even though we had so many great resources here, we wanted to find something online that we could kind of plug into and be part of an online community in that mm-hmm. sense. And we really found that we had two criteria that we were looking for in the answers. The first was that the answers to our questions had to be based in Scripture. Mm-hmm. So, because I don't care how smart you think you are, how clever you think your wording is, if your wisdom does not come from Scripture, it's not wisdom. Mm-hmm. The second criteria was this: it had to be easily applicable to life. Now, when I say that, I don't mean that it's easy to do, but mm-hmm. I do mean that it's easy to see how I can apply that to my life. So, in other words, we didn't want the wisdom to just simply be abstract that had no action that you could apply to it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And we really could not find that one that we're asking, that was asking the questions we were asking, mm-hmm. and then provided answers that were based on those two criteria. Mm-hmm. So rather than wait around for somebody else to do it, we said, okay, well, we all work here at AFA. This is a great platform. Let's use the place where God has put us, and let's create a platform that does that, that mm-hmm. fills those criteria, that meets those needs, that answers these questions. And so that was really the start. We worked for 2 years researching, working behind the scenes, and then we finally launched. Hmm. And we've grown like crazy since then.
That's neat. We know, TJ, one of the things I think of too, and you touched on this earlier, you know, for every generation, for every group of people, God's word really is the answer to everything, whether the
Absolutely.
People perceive it or not. And I think of Psalm 119, verse 105, that says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." We're wise as the people of God to always point people to the Word of God as the answer to everything. And, you know, it's interesting how that, like, with different generations, sometimes you hear voices that will try to steer people away from the Word of God as being the answer. But the reality is it's wise for us to continually point people back to the Word, because it always is the answer. And, you know, I just read from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, that's a unique and a powerful passage that talks about the seasons of life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things that I think of as it relates to that particular passage is that it talks about the different seasons in life, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to keep, a time to throw away, that many different issues. But God's word is the tool that helps us line up with the right seasons of life. And it's good for us to understand that if we help people to get into the word of God and seek the word of God, it'll point them not only to salvation, but to the answers that they're looking for.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that is so much the case. But I think that humanity in general, now every generation, like you said, has to provide answers in Scripture. They have mm-hmm. to defend Scripture because there's always been those who attack the authority of the Word of God. But I do find that there are seasons of humanity where the hostility toward Christianity in general, but specifically toward the Word of God, tends to increase and tends to go even further. And it's always in a different method. So mm-hmm. when you look back at previous centuries and you have these guys like Voltaire and you have the Enlightenment and you have all of these different things that were really and truly an attack on Scripture, mm-hmm. You had some of the greatest Christian minds that came up to answer those things. Mm-hmm. But they were a product of their time. Right. They trained themselves because they saw the objections and they answered those objections. And mm-hmm. then they raised objections to the objections. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that this is part of what is so encouraging to me about my generation is that we are living in a time now that I think is, in a sense, unprecedented. I don't use that word very lightly. But I think that because the attacks on the authority of the Word of God are so prevalent in our culture, and not just the American culture, but also in global culture, that the millennial Christians are just simply, that's the air that we breathe. We know our faith is going to be tested. We know our faith is going to be attacked. We know we're going to be looked down upon and judged and criticized for our beliefs. And that's okay. We're going to live in the midst of that. And we want to know, how do we live in the midst of that? How do we proceed? And so what encourages me is the idea that there's going to be millennials out there who are growing up in this, and they're going to become the new this generation's C.S. Lewis or this generation's Chuck Colson and mm-hmm. things like that. So I think it's mm-hmm. highly encouraging. But I will say this: we have to bathe this generation, as all generations, mm-hmm. But we need to bathe them in prayer.
That's right. That's right. Well, I want to ask you this question, TJ. I think of this now: spiritual disciplines, spiritual habits. Spiritual mm-hmm. disciplines is a fancy word for spiritual habits. Okay,
sure.
And the fact is, I really like to use the word John Wesley used, a means of grace. But that was his word for spiritual disciplines. But basically, habits that we form that help us to walk with God, that habits and tools we use to help us to stay in close fellowship with God. Three in particular, three key ones are, of course, the spiritual habit, the spiritual discipline of praying daily, the spiritual discipline of reading the Word daily, the spiritual discipline of obeying the Word. I want to ask you this time, TJ, why, for you personally, why is reading the Word of God so important to you?
I love analogies, mm-hmm. and so I kind of want to use an analogy here. I recently started working out, recently started doing CrossFit. Mm-hmm. And
you'll have to define that.
Now, CrossFit is, I say new kind of workout. It's definitely new to me. Of course, mm-hmm. working out is new to me, but it's high-intensity workout. All right, so you're going super hard, super fast, but for a short amount of time. Mm-hmm. High intensity inter something workout. Mm-hmm. But anyway, on the days where I go, mm-hmm. I can feel a difference. Mm-hmm. I have more energy. I have more flexibility. I'm actually not as sore when I work out as versus when I skip a day like I did yesterday morning. Mm-hmm. I eat better. It impacts the remainder of my day. Mm-hmm. When I am in Scripture, it is a spiritual workout for me. It brings me conviction. It brings me to repentance. It opens my eyes to the glory of God. When I miss out, I'm hungry and I'm unsatisfied because I'm no longer pursuing Christ. So for me, not spending time in Scripture is not the issue. It is the byproduct or the result of the issue of my not desiring Christ. Mm. And it's really something that God continually reveals in my heart, because you know, we are new creations when we reach salvation, when God opens our heart to salvation. Mm-hmm. But we still have the old nature in us, and we still have that pull for the world and that desire for the world. And when we begin to give into that, and make no mistake, every believer gives into that at some point. But when we do, we have to be brought back to the point of repentance. And so staying in the Word of God simply helps me draw closer to Christ and to feel that pull towards Christ stronger than the pull that I feel towards the world. I hope that makes sense.
It does. It just, I guess I would say this, like, you know, that analogy, I guess Jade could understand that analogy better than I. when I grow up, I'm going to do probably be just like you, TJ, you know, but it is important to understand that consistency is so, so important.
That is so key.
When it comes to spiritual disciplines, like, okay, and you're reading every day. Do you read a certain amount of time? So many chapters? How do you, your daily Bible reading?
Sure. So I come into the office, early, because if I'm at home, mm-hmm. there's always something to do. Mm-hmm. There's always clothes that need folded. I've got three kids, so you know, my house is just kind of crazy sometimes, but there's always something to do. Mm-hmm. Now, I actually read scripture a couple of different times through the day. Mm-hmm. This is just simply what works for me, but I fall asleep reading scripture. All right. Mm-hmm. So I have a Kindle e-reader, because I read at night and it doesn't keep my wife awake. Mm-hmm. So I read that and I fall asleep reading it. Now, the bad thing about reading when you fall asleep is that you tend to forget what you read the night before. And so on my commute to work, I have a 25-minute commute. So on that commute to work, I listen to the scripture that I read the night before, mm-hmm. so that I'm reinforcing what I just read. And then when I get to work, I come in early before everybody else, and I have my quiet time then. And so, I wish I could say I have, you know, this time that I'm going to read or this many chapters, but really I read until there's something I need to chew on. And when I hit that point where there's, you know, an idea or God reveals something about himself or whatever the case may be, it might be, honestly, it might be five verses one day.
Right.
But I'm going to chew on those five verses all day. Mm-hmm. I might read four or five chapters, but then there was something in that first chapter that I read that God says, you need to go back to that.
Right.
So I go back to that, and then I listen to it again on my way home. Whatever I read that morning, I read or I listen to on the way home, and then that night move forward.
Okay.
So,
okay. Would you take a moment just to pray briefly for the listeners to grasp the need to be in the Word daily?
Absolutely. Father God, we come before you, and God, you have revealed to us over and over and over again the importance of your Word.
Yes.
God, it is our spiritual food. Father, it is so much more than what we give it credit for, because God, I know a lot of times, even in my own life, we look at it just as another book, as words on pages, but God, it is not. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. God, it is filled with who you are. Yes. And so, Father God, I pray that first you will reveal to our hearts, that you will open up our hearts to the wonders of your law. And God, that you will reveal to us just how special this book is. And Father God, what a blessing it is that you have decided to reveal yourself in this way, in a method that we can continually go back to. And Father God, I pray that you will show us not just the benefits that we can have, although there are so many more than we could ever describe, so many more than we could ever talk about. But Father God, I pray that we will just simply have such a passion and a zeal to know you, God, that we cannot get enough of your Word.
Yes, Lord.
Father God, I pray that the pull to read scripture, that the pull to know you is stronger than any other force in our life. And Father God, ultimately, that we simply pursue you.
Yes, Lord.
God, give us a passion and a zeal for your heart. God, may we be men and women that just pursue you.
Thank you.
It's in your name.
Amen. Our in-studio guest today is Teddy James, the managing editor of Engage Magazine. We'll be right back.
I'm Toni Johnson inviting you to join me for Tony's Praise Party. It's the perfect opportunity for you to get your praise on any way you want. It's toe-tapping, hand-clapping gospel music that will stir up your spirit. And you'll get news that concerns you and information about your favorite artist along the way. Tony's Praise Party, Saturday morning at 6, again Saturday evening at 6, Sunday afternoon at 4, and Monday morning at 4. Find out more and connect with me at UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
Coming next week on The Dwelling Place, Pastor Al Pittman continues to walk us through the Bible line by line and verse by verse to let God show us just how timeless His truth is. That's next week on The Dwelling Place.
The Dwelling Place with Al Pittman, weekdays at 2:30 and 10:30 p.m. Central on Urban Family Talk.
There's a plan for your family, but probably not the one you had in mind when you got married or started having children. Dr. Tony Evans explains as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
As I went and studied in seminary and learned more of the theology of family, I was able to connect the importance of family to its theological roots beyond the nuclear structure itself. Even when God created Adam and Eve and told them to be fruitful and multiply, He told them to fill the earth. There was this dominant perspective that dominated the environment of Scripture. I began to discover that the purpose for family is not the purpose for which most people have family. Most people have family for their own personal fulfillment and happiness, but I discovered that that is supposed to be a byproduct of family, a result of family, but not fundamentally the purpose for family. That the job of family is to fill the earth for the purposes of expanding the kingdom of God in history. So the reason why there's such an attack on the family is not social or psychological, it's spiritual, to disrupt the expansion of God's kingdom in history. And if more people, more husbands and wives and parents and children saw that the breakdown of the family is tied to the disruption of God's kingdom and not just my own personal fulfillment, perhaps they would look at family a lot deeper and much more serious.
Learn more about how men are designed and destined to fit into that heavenly expansion plan. Request a copy of Dr. Evans' best-selling book, Kingdom Man, for yourself, your brother, uncle, husband, father, teenage son, or your church study group. Visit us at TonyEvans.org and click on the link that says Making Kingdom Men. That's TonyEvans.org. Then join us next time as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Some days are weary. Some days weary. And you can't see your way.
And you can't see your way.
Some nights are lonely.
Some nights are lonely.
With no one to say.
With no one to say.
You can make it.
You can make it.
It's only a test.
It's only a test.
You can take it.
You can take it.
And don't you think.
And don't you think.
So wipe the tears from your eyes.
Here's
the reason why.
Come
on. God's on your side. He can handle it. God's on your side. Hold on. God's on your side. God's on your side. Miss Leandria Johnson.
The music of the Mississippi Mass Choir, the song God's on Your Side. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our in-studio guest is Teddy James, the managing editor of Engage Magazine. TJ, when we were talking about reading the Word of God every day, and let me say this as we start off, and I'm going to ask if you'll kind of expound on this as well. There are a lot of folks out there, they don't read their Bibles at all. There are a lot of believers that don't read. There are some people that, well, they're not believers at all. But, you know, one of the reasons why it's so important for us, I think, to really point people to the Word of God in it is because it's important to recognize this, that God's Word really is the answer to everything. And real quick, I'm going to skim this, and I'm going to ask if you'll comment on this. 10 excellent reasons to read God's Word every day. Number one, it tells you genuinely how to be saved. Number two, reading God's Word every day is important because it gives you clear guidance and direction for much of your life. Three, it empowers your prayer life. Four, it sharpens your ability to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit more clearly in your life. Number five, reading God's Word daily is important because it ministers to your mind, body, and spirit. Six, it helps you maintain your mental health. So I like to remind people that if they don't read it for any other reason but so they won't go crazy, that's a good reason to read the Word daily. Seven, it increases God's anointing on every part of your life. Number eight, it increases your wisdom in every part of life. Number nine, it enhances your intellect and your personality. It can actually increase your IQ. And number 10, it pours grace, peace, mercy, and joy into your spirit, your mind, and your life. And that's just a few of the many reasons why all of us should read God's Word every single day. Let me ask if you just give your reaction to some of those issues.
You know, I'll say this. When I remember being a kid and hearing the story of Solomon.
And, you know, when I was a kid, I heard the story of Solomon and how he asked God, you know, God said, whatever you want, I will give you. Just ask me for it.
Mm-hmm.
And Solomon prayed for wisdom. And so for me, that's always been the heart of my prayer, is that God would give me wisdom and give me knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'd rather have that than money or success or anything like that, because true wisdom is knowing God.
That's right.
And so the desire of my heart, even from being a child, was simply knowing God. And I agree, the only way that we will, so God has chosen to reveal himself in two ways. General revelation, which is the world around us, it's nature, it's, you know, the earth and the heavens and all that. But then there's special revelation. And God has chosen to reveal himself specifically and specially in the Bible. And so, you know, that's the one that really sticks out to me. It is our source of wisdom. It is our source of knowledge. And you're right. When we divorce ourselves from that, we are divorcing ourselves from wisdom and knowledge.
That's right. In fact, you know, I think of this, the Word says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, really, it's helpful to understand a person's never fully educated unless they even come to know Christ as Lord and Savior, because really, God is the foundation of all knowledge. That's why when it's so sad that when you have someone that says they don't believe in God, you're cutting the foundation out of all knowledge,
mm-hmm.
all truth, because all truth emanates from God. All knowledge emanates from God. And even like when sometimes people say, well, science and God don't mix, that's really a foolish thing to say.
Absolutely.
It can't help but mix because God created it.
Right. Well, there again, to go back to what you just said, God is the foundation of truth because God is truth. And so mm-hmm. when we attempt to divorce the two, what we end up with is exactly what we have, where people question the reality of truth.
Mm-hmm.
They say, can there even be such a thing as truth?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of people out there who will answer no.
Mm-hmm.
There is no such thing as absolute truth, and they move forward in that worldview.
Mm-hmm.
But it comes back to the way that I see this is that it comes right back to the issue of having a worldview. And what is your worldview based on?
Mm-hmm.
I think that for too many people, we have a worldview that's based on after-school specials
mm-hmm.
and PSAs.
Right.
And
right.
That's really it. And even
no depth.
There is no depth. You know what? A perfect example of this, Pastor Joseph, does your wife have a wedding ring?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. When you proposed, did you give her an engagement ring? I caught him off guard. Most men, you're going to say yes. Jade, when a man proposes to you, Jade is our producer. She's over here on the side. Mm-hmm. Do you want an engagement ring?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You ever wondered why? The reason that you want an engagement, that a female wants an engagement ring,
mm-hmm.
is a marketing campaign by the mm-hmm. De Beers company.
Okay.
They own most of the diamonds in the world.
Mm-hmm.
They started in the 1915s, 1920s, where they said, if you love her, you'll put a diamond, you'll give her a diamond because diamonds are forever. It was so successful that we've now become this thing to where women have to have an engagement ring. I apologize for that, Miss Sherry. I'll get my titles right one day. But here's the thing. We take things that we see. We take marketing that we see, and we adopt that as our worldview. We don't question it. And so one of the big things of Engage, one of the things that one of our driving factors is that we want people to question their worldview and to find the source of their worldview. And what we do is we challenge the worldview that is built for us by culture, and we rebuild it based on Scripture.
That's right.
So there again, just goes right back to the importance of Scripture, because if your worldview is based on anything other than Scripture, you're building a house on shifting sand.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, I think of this, too, that you were asking about, you know, like when people make a statement that say, well, there is no absolute truth. Well, of course, that's an absolute statement, you know. And the fact is, all of us have a foundation of what we believe. But the question is, going back to what you stated, what do we believe?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what is that founded on? And of course, God's word is not only a solid foundation, but also God's word is backed up wonderfully and powerfully by science, by mathematics, by all truth. And, you know, all truth lines up with all other truth.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't contradict it. And so if it is real truth, it's going to line up with other truth as well.
Right. It's going to be backed up. I mean, science does that all the time. They say, you know, if you don't have empirical evidence for something, you cannot claim it to be truth.
That's right.
So, you know, truth will always back up truth. And you know, just to kind of carry that a little bit further, the best commentary on Scripture is Scripture itself. So when you see something in Scripture and you think, you know, this is a new thought, I've never heard anybody talk about this, see what the rest of Scripture has to say about it.
That's
because if the rest of Scripture does not back up the idea that you have, you misinterpreted that one passage that you just read. So there again, all the more reason, dig into Scripture, and not just your favorite chapter of your favorite book. That's great. Do that. But read the whole counsel of the Word of God.
That's right. And, you know, TJ, I think of this too. The Bible consists of 66 books, and all of the books are the truth of the written Word of God, and all of them line up with each other, and they all point to Christ. Every single book in the Bible points to the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, I think of this too. It's important for us to know that, you know, in addition to reading the Word of God every day, it's important for us as believers to learn to have the discipline of praying and talking to God, too. One of the things I'd throw out, too, and I want to ask you to respond to this as well, reading the Word of God is a form of prayer. It's a form of communing with God. And so when you read the Word of God itself, of course, at the same time, we can pray the Word of God, too. But the reading itself is a form of prayer in this sense. Prayer consists of talking to God and listening to God. When we read the Word of God, we're turning the volume up really loud, but we're hearing God. And we should never make the mistake of thinking, well, it's just talking to God. No, it's both listening and talking. And we hear very clearly and very powerful, and we'll just spend time reading and meditating on His Word. And so if someone says, well, what's more important, reading the Bible or praying? Well, that's kind of like saying, what's more important, inhaling or exhaling? Both are important. So, but would you comment on the importance of God's Word as it relates to our prayer life?
Yeah, you know, I think that, you know, one of the most important things, and Pastor Joseph actually got this from you, but praying back the Scriptures to God. When we look at Scripture, and, you know, and it has been said over and over again throughout the years that the Bible is God's love letter to us, right? So it's how He has revealed Himself. So if this is the greatest love story ever told, why would we not want to read it back to God? Now, I will say this, when I pray Scripture, I will typically change it a little bit. So whereas we read the Ten Commandments, and the Ten Commandments says, you know, do not commit adultery, well, I'm going to add to that what Christ added to it in the New Testament, and I'm going to say, Jesus, God, help me to not commit adultery, but also help me not to lust in my heart that will lead to adultery. Help me not to kill, but beyond, help me not to hate. You know, and so there again, it goes back to looking at the full counsel of the Word of God. And so, you know, I think you absolutely have to have both of them. And part of that, too, is it goes back to the idea of what does Scripture do? Scripture reveals who God is. So if we don't know who we're talking to, we don't know how to talk to Him.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, our time is almost gone here. I want to say to all of our listeners, want to remind you, if you're not reading the Bible every day, today is a great day to start that habit. And I like to encourage a goal of reading at least 3 chapters a day. And of course, 3 chapters in the Bible, and that may sound like a lot, but that's just a good basic spiritual meal to start with. But of course, different people may think, well, I want to do it a little different. Well, that's fine. But mm-hmm. the key is consuming an adequate amount of God's word every day. And some people say, well, it's not quantity, it's quality. Well, it's both.
Right.
You know, because just like, for example, when you eat food, if someone says, well, it's not quantity, it's quality. No, you want to eat a good meal that tastes good, but you don't want just a spoonful of cornflakes. Mm-hmm. You want a meal, you know. And so both really have an important place as well. So in these last few moments, TJ, would you just pray one more prayer for believers to grow in their knowledge of the importance of learning to pray the Word of God as a part of their lifestyle?
Absolutely. Father God, God, we know that you have written this book, and you have written it in so many different ways, using so many different people. And so, Father God, we pray again that you would open our eyes to the wonders of your law, Father, that you would reveal yourself to us in your law. And Father, we want to echo Psalm 119, where David prays out to you and just says, teach me to love your law. Teach me to love your rules. God, to inspire a passion in our hearts, not just in the sense of we want to keep these rules, but Father, that we want to honor you in the way that we live, in the way that we talk, in the way that we think, in the way that we pray. And so, Father God, I pray that that you will again just renew a passion in our lives, Father, because it can be so difficult living in this world and having this constant pull of rebellion towards you, Father. And I pray that we repent of that, but also that you will show us that in our own lives. Help us to repent. God, give us a heart that is pursuing you. I just ask that you would, God, just teach us how to pray.
Yes.
And God, we know the best way to do that is to look into your word, because you teach us throughout your word how your followers pray to you, how they speak to you, how they speak about you. And Father, I pray that we can take those principles and apply them, not just in the way that we pray to you out loud and in silent, both in the public and in the very private, intimate moments with you. But God, I pray that it even impacts the way that we live, and that we begin to see our lives as a living prayer, a living sacrifice to you and to your Son. It's in your name we say these things, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. And Father, I thank you and I praise you for the opportunity we have of being able to pray every day, as well as spend time in your word. With every passing day, more and more help us to grow in the importance of living this as a lifestyle and encouraging others to learn to do the same thing. Help us to be faithful to do those every day. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Let me say to all of our listeners, if you'd like to get a copy of some of the issues and truths that we touched on today, we'd like to be glad to email them to you. My email address is jparker@afa.net. Again, jparker@afa.net. We'd be glad to email some of these tools to you. TJ, thanks for joining us today.
I appreciate you having me, sir.
Privileged to have you, and we're looking forward to Victory being with us, Victory McIntosh being with us in studio, another millennial to share insights about ministering to this generation. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.